Well, you glad to be in church here today? Oh, I tell you what, I know it's a little rainy outside. It's a little gloomy outside. But how many of you know it doesn't have to be gloomy inside? Amen? I'll tell you what, we want to stir ourselves up, and we want to show God that we're excited about him. Amen. It's so good to see everybody. We just are so honored to have visitors here with us today. We welcome you to Family Church. We know that God's got an awesome plan for your life. We want to see you get connected to that plan, and that plan is all right here in the Word of God. Amen. And so we're not here to do things our way. We're here to do things God's way. Amen. And so we just welcome you. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We're just so glad to have new faces with us all the time. Church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's our job. Let's go ahead and welcome those that are visiting here today. So good to see you. So glad to have you. And if you're looking for a church, we'd love to have you part of our church. If you're looking for a pastor, I'd love to be your pastor. And also, the only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here every Sunday at 10:30. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Let's go in our Bibles over to Mark chapter 16. And today I'm going to call this message, The Greatness of the Gospel. The greatness of the gospel. You know, originally, I really thought that we would be, you know, following up on last week's message. Last week, I taught a message called Fellowship in the Light. And we were over there in 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, when it says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, right, then we have fellowship one with another, and our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And so we saw what true fellowship is. Fellowship is walking in the light of God's word together, amen, having fellowship with God, desiring to be obedient to him and so on. And I really thought that we would continue on with that this week, but the program kind of changed. Praise God. You know, the Lord, you know, just kind of switched things up. And of course, I've been meditating in the word. I'm prepared and ready to go. But today I do not have any notes because that was the leading. Usually I'm very much a teacher and I will make a very strict outline and things like that. But today there's just some things, just some directions. I know where we're starting. I just don't know where we're gonna end up, right? Amen. Is it okay to be led by the Holy Spirit here today? Amen. Well, go with me to Mark chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse 15. How many of you have ever heard of the Great Commission? The Great Commission. Well, we're going to read about the Great Commission here in Mark 16, and we're going to start in verse 15, and we're going to read all the way down through verse 20, and then we're going to go back through these verses. We're going to take a look at them. I'm sure I will do some teaching here today, but my goal is not to just go into depth on one specific topic, amen? But we're going to be just led, and we're gonna see the direction that this takes us, amen? And we're gonna read, these are the words of Jesus in Mark 16, and Jesus starts by saying in verse 15, and Jesus is speaking to his apostles. We know that this was spoken after the resurrection of Christ. He is soon to be taken up back into heaven, and now he says this to the apostles. He said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right. So that means you can go out and preach to the bunny rabbits, right? You can preach to, right? Oh, no, no. We understand the spirit of that verse. What Jesus is saying, make sure you tell every human being the gospel, right? In verse 16, it says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. The word devils there, more modern translation would be the word demons. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Do we have any believers here today? All right. So now there's signs that follow believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. The T word. right? I don't know. That's the second scary T word in church, right? The first being tithing, right? Oh boy, here we go. But these are the words of Jesus, verse 18. Gentlemen, I have a ring up here. I don't know if we're hearing it in the sanctuary as much. Oh yeah, I'm getting some confirmations. And so if we could just tone down the echo, because you know, there's only one thing worse than hearing my own voice once. That's hearing it twice. Right? Praise the Lord. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they, God's people, the apostles, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Here we go. Folks, this is what we're going to talk about here today. We're going to talk about the greatness of the gospel. Folks, I want you to see that in the Great Commission, the gospel is not a preaching gospel only, but there are actions and signs and wonders that confirm what God wants to do in our life. Amen. Go back to verse 15 and let's take a look at this again. Jesus said to them, he's speaking to his people. He's speaking to the church. He's not just speaking to family church. He's speaking to any born again believer that is on this earth. Here is what we are commissioned to do. This is what God lives inside us for. This should be our heart's desire. He said to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, folks, we know what the word gospel means. If you translate the word gospel, it means what? Everyone say it with me. Good news, right? And so we know that literally the word gospel means good news. So Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the good news to every human being. All right? When you see the word preach, a lot of times Christians, you know, they don't see themselves in that verse, because when they think of a preacher, they think of somebody, you know, standing behind a pulpit. They think of somebody, you know, who's paid to preach, or, you know, somebody that leads a ministry or something. That word preach here, it's not talking about preachers. That word preach is the word to proclaim. To proclaim. No, your job in life, or you know, you might not be a preacher behind a pulpit or in front of a church, but we are all called and commissioned to be proclaimers of the good news to every human being, regardless of who they are, regardless of their circumstances, you know, regardless of their, you know, position in society. Think about that. Jesus says, go everywhere, proclaim to every human being on this earth that there's good news for them. There's good news for you. Folks, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Guess what? There's good news for you. It doesn't matter if you're rich or less than rich, you know, financially speaking, whether you have more money or less money. Guess what? There's good news for you. It doesn't matter if you're someone here that is walking in the fullness of joy, or if you're facing an attack of depression or anxiety. Guess what? There's good news for you. You know, if you're older versus younger, it doesn't matter. There's good news for the older. There's good news for the younger. You might be here and maybe you've gone through a divorce at some point in your life. Or maybe you've, you know, had a trial or made a mistake or something. Listen, I'm here to tell you, there's good news for you. You know, maybe there was trouble in your life. Maybe there was a mistake. Maybe somebody mistreated you in your past. There's good news for you. There is good news. As long as you've got a heartbeat in your chest, if you've got oxygen in your lungs, there is good news and hope for no matter where you're at in this life, whether you're single or married, there's good news for you. Whether you've got children or not, there's good news for you. There's good news. He says, go into all the world. He didn't say, go out there, you know, and tell them how condemned they are. He said, go out there and tell them the good news is you don't have to be condemned. You don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to be defeated in this life. You don't have to be desperate. You don't have to be separated from God. The good news is you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be worried and concerned. You don't have to be afraid of what's going on in society. Listen, I'll tell you what, why not believe the good news? Look at verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. Do you know the word saved literally means be rescued? Yeah. So now this tells us the heart of God in every situation. God's heart is to rescue you. Yes, ultimately, in the greatest salvation and rescue comes from the blood of Jesus Christ, to be redeemed, to be saved from your sin, so that we're rescued from hell, rescued from eternal punishment. Folks, there's a lot of people that would love for me to just, you know, not mention hell. You know, a lot of people want to say, well, hell's not real. Well, yes, hell is real. But I've got good news. Heaven is real. All right? And you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to worry about it. If what? If you believe, you shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be condemned or destroyed. That's what that word means, damned. All right? And so my question is, why not believe the good news? Why not believe the good news? And all this world is so filled with bad news, why wouldn't you want to hold on to the ultimate good news? Even when the economy looks bad, there's still good news. You can look at this world your way, or you can look at this world God's way, and God says for every human being on this earth, there is good news. All right, but the question is, are we going to believe the good news of the gospel? All right. Notice these things are for them that will humble themselves and believe. All right? To believe the good news, you know, to act in faith, we're going to have to humble ourselves and we're going to have to believe. And now a lot of times we look at these verses and a lot of times people think of the Great Commission and they think that the only part of the Great Commission is to go out and tell people about Jesus. Of course, how many of you know that's the highest? That is 100% the most important aspect of the gospel is to tell people how to be saved, right? But notice the passage or the chapter did not end at verse 16. How many of you know the Great Commission, that there's something to do on this earth? There's good news in the gospel even for this life. Amen. A lot of times Christians, you know, if we're not careful, we'll have a mentality like, well, as long as I'm saved, that's all I need to know. As long as I'm saved, that's as far as I care to go. Folks, that's not where Jesus stopped. He said, in my name, these signs will follow them that believe, right? And so, I mean, let's believe the good news, all right? Now, here's something that we've got to get a hold of in verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Of course, we know that that's speaking about salvation, the remission of sins. But it's very interesting, if you study that word saved, it's also the word for preservation. It's also the word healing. It's also the word for peace, right? Amen. He that believes shall be what? Preserved. Shall be delivered is another definition of that word saved. All right, praise God. So, you know, the goal isn't to just become a believer in Jesus where we just say, well, I'm just gonna go to heaven only. We are to remain believers in all that God has for us, even beyond going to heaven, right? Amen. Look at verse 17. Because if we're not careful, we can be believers for salvation from our sins, but if we're not careful, all of a sudden we'll start to doubt all the rest. Folks, we can't be unbelieving believers. Yeah, you know, do you know what I mean? Unbelieving believers that say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in being saved, but I don't believe in much anything else beyond that. Folks, we are born again by our belief. Amen. We got to keep our beliefs. Amen. And go on beyond just salvation. And he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. It's not just them that have confessed in Christ, but those that will believe in these signs. People that believe that God has these things for them. Watch this. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they what? Cast out demons. Whoa. They, believers, shall speak with new tongues. And then he goes on to say the rest. Let's start with this first one here. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they, believers, shall cast out. Or I like how the Amplified Bible says this. It says drive out. Drive out demons. Folks, notice this, all right? That in the name of Christ, you and I are supposed to drive out demonic activity. So folks, we know that Jesus is not talking about heaven anymore. He is not talking about heaven anymore. Why? There are no demons in heaven. He's not talking about what we do in heaven. He's now talking about what believers now do on this earth. But we got to be careful and make sure that we don't, you know, that we make sure that we don't fail to believe in casting out demons. Because if you don't believe in casting out demons, guess what you'll never do? You'll never cast out a demon. Folks, the first thing that Jesus said would follow them that believe is that they would have authority in the name of Jesus Christ over demonic activity. Why would Jesus doesn't want to just save you so you go to heaven. He wants you to be walking in victory and deliverance right here on this earth. Glory to God. You know, I didn't go here last night. See, we're being led by the Spirit. Go to Luke chapter 4. Hold your place in Mark 16. We're coming right back. Go over to Luke chapter 4 and go to verse 18. Praise the Lord. These signs shall follow them that... Here's the good news. You don't have to be tormented by demonic activity anymore. You don't have to be dominated by thoughts of suicide, thoughts of depression. You don't have to be dominated by worrying about where your, you know, mortgage payment is going to come from or things in life. You don't have to sit there and worry about your kids. You don't have to look at the war in Israel and be worried about it. You don't. Here's the good news. You don't have to be tormented anymore by demonic activity. This is the good news of the gospel. If the Jesus didn't just say, here's how to get to heaven, but from here on out, you're just on your own. He said, here's how you get to heaven. Here's how you get your sins washed. In my name, now go and cast out or drive out demonic activity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at what Jesus said. This is when Jesus started his preaching ministry in the synagogues in Israel. Jesus stood up this day. Look at what he says in Luke 4:18. Jesus is speaking. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach or proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's the good news of the gospel. You don't have to live a life of sadness anymore. You don't have to live a life of brokenness, you know, and being upset and desperate all the time. To preach what? Deliverance to the captives. All right, this is, you know, of course, there's no captives in heaven. There's no captives in heaven. So deliverance for demonic captivity is for us right here in this day, in this time, on this earth, right now. Amen. The good news is you don't have to be held captive by anything. You don't have to be brokenhearted. Why would Jesus say that he is anointed to preach the good news to the poor? Because the good news to the poor is that God is an abundant God who meets and provides every need. Yeah. Hallelujah. Folks, to those that are concerned about meeting your needs, I'm here to tell you the good news is God's a provider. The good news is that God's a healer. Yes. To the brokenhearted, he is a restorer. And notice it says he's come to give deliverance to the captives and to recover sight to the blind. Hallelujah. To set at liberty them that are bruised And then, of course, the next verse says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. But I wanted you to see that he said that the gospel contains deliverance for the captives. Don't have to be sad anymore. Don't have to be desperate anymore. Don't have to be broken down anymore. Don't have to be offended anymore. Don't have to be twisted up in your minds anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go back to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall drive out demonic activity. Now, what we're going to do, let's talk about this. Let's talk what it means to drive out demonic activity. Folks, you know, many of you have been around here for a while. Ask yourself this question, or maybe you can just go ahead and answer it for us. You can shout it out if you want. Where, and if you're not absolutely certain, then don't say a thing. Right? Praise the Lord. But where does demonic attack start? Yes, I saw many of you. You pointed right here. The number one place that all demonic activity starts is right here in the mind. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See, when we think of driving out demonic activity, so many times Christians, we think about, you know, some dramatic, you know, we think that, you know, for someone to have a devil cast out of them or to drive out demonic activity is when a preacher, you know, lays hands on someone who's a lunatic or lost their mind and the devil comes out and makes all this, you know, noise and things like that. We think of like The Exorcist and all this stuff. No. I'm here to tell you that demonic activity against your life is far more subtle than that. All right. The devil does not always make a big show. You have to know and understand this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Jesus says, here's the good news. You can be saved. Here's the good news. Your sins can be washed. Here's the good news. You don't have to go to hell anymore. Here's the good news. In my name, you're going to drive out demonic activity. You don't have to be tormented. Here's the good news. I'm going to give you the authority or the power of attorney in my name, and you are going to go out, and you're going to keep demons away from you. You're going to help keep demonic activity away from your kids. You're going to keep demonic activity away from, you know, influence and aspects of your life. Amen. Look at this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Look at what it says here. For though we walk in the flesh, that's true. Did everyone bring their body with them here today, right? We're all walking in the flesh here today. Okay, sometimes our flesh doesn't want to be here, right? Sometimes our flesh gets lazy. We all know, we all face that, right? For we walk in the flesh, we do not, what? War after the flesh. That's interesting. War. Well, we're hearing a lot about war in the news. We got wars in Ukraine. Israel has declared war for the first time in 50 years. Now the United States is sending a second aircraft carrier group over the Mediterranean. Now Lebanon's getting involved. Now Syria's getting involved. Boy, this is just a little side statement here. Folks, if you wonder what all this in Israel is going on, you know, what all this means, it means the same thing that we've always known. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Folks, back in 1991 with the first Gulf War with, you know, we remember that Gulf War in Kuwait. You know, almost every nation of the world was found right there. And that was something that the Bible prophesied. And now we're seeing it again. All the nations, all the armies of the world are yet coming together again around that same real estate that the Bible prophesied would happen. So if you're wondering what these things are, they are just a telltale guarantee that the word is true and that Jesus is coming back soon. People, they get all with the political ramifications and they get drawn into it. No, you don't need to get drawn into it. You don't have to worry about it. It just means the same thing that we've always been told. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. For we walk in the flesh, we do not war or fight after our flesh. Meaning our true adversary is not in the flesh. We have a spiritual adversary. These things are spiritual. They're not just natural. Look at verse 4. For the weapons, everyone say weapons. Boy, this is strong language here. The Bible's talking about war and weapons. Here's one of the biggest misconceptions for a lot of believers all over this earth. They don't realize they're in a war. You don't realize that every day of your life, you're in a fight. You're in a fight. There's a spiritual battle waging war every day of your life. The question is, are you going to take up the right weapons and are you going to win? God's already done everything he's going to need to do. You're going to have to cast out the demonic activity. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to come down and cast it out and drive it out for you. He said, in my name, you're going to do it. Say, well, pastor, you know, I'm just getting beat up in my mind. I'm getting, you know, pounded with depression. I'm being pounded with anxiety. Folks, you can cry out to God and say, God, take it away, take it away. He's not gonna. He's not gonna. He already laid those griefs and sorrows upon Jesus Christ, and he now said, here's the good news. You take the authority in my name, and you cast that thing away. Watch this. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural, but mighty through God, or we could say it this way, but supernatural. Folks, this life with Jesus Christ is not natural. It's supernatural. These principles are not just natural principles. These are supernatural spirituals, supernatural principles. But mighty through God to the pulling down of, say it with me, strongholds. Well, whatever a stronghold is, I'm pretty sure that we don't want it. All right? The weapons of our warfare are not natural, but mighty through God to the pulling down or the destruction of strongholds. So notice in this battle, in this war that you're in spiritual, this spiritual warfare is about destroying strongholds. What is a stronghold? Well, the Bible tells us in the next verse, there's a lot of people that have weird ideas about what strongholds are. They think that they're, you know, some kind of spiritual demonic base, or, you know, something, you know, that hovers over cities and it's a stronghold over a city. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says strongholds don't hover over regions or places of the earth. We're going to see right now. Look at verse 4. Notice it says the pulling down of strongholds. There's a semicolon. That means that the verse is not over. Okay, look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Notice Jesus says, in my name, they will drive out or cast out demons. And now we see that same word here right again. He says, you shall drive out imaginations. Folks, where do imaginations take place? In our mind. What is an imagination? It's an animated thought. It is a picture. Or like, you could say it for a lack of a better, you know, illustration. It's like a short movie in your brain. Folks, you need to know and understand that Satan is an artist and he's using your brain as a canvas. Every day he tries to paint pictures in my mind. He tries to paint pictures in your mind. Watch this. We are to cast out or drive out imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Have you ever had something in your mind that was against the knowledge of God? Anyone honest here today? Anyone honest? All right, that's all of us. See, how many of you know when we get born again, our spirit gets born again, but our mind has to be renewed with the word of God? Meaning, if you have bad thinking or stinking thinking before you get saved, you can have stinking thinking after you get saved. Is there anybody in here who's saved, who's ever had stinking thinking before? Ever catch yourself? Yes, absolutely. It's just like the prodigal son. Remember that? You know, how he left and went away. And all of a sudden, the Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself like, what have I done? All right? He says, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every what? Thought. To the obedience of Christ. Where do thoughts take place? In our mind. Where do imaginations take place? Right here in our mind. All right? So what is a stronghold? Strongholds are the result of unchecked thinking. Where we don't put our thinking in check. We don't renew our minds, or what I like to say, the Bible says our soul is our mind and our intellect, in our feelings and so on. And that's why I have a message called Soul Patrol. Soul Patrol. You better patrol your mind, because we're talking about language in the Bible that says these weapons of our warfare, this is spiritual warfare every day, what's going on in your thought life. And you are supposed to take the weapons of this warfare. Well, Jesus already told us what the first weapon of our warfare is. He says, in my name, right? The name of Jesus Christ is the first and greatest weapon against wrong thinking. And have you ever had a thought come blazing through your mind and you wonder, my goodness, it's almost like you start to feel ashamed for having it? Oh, guess nobody. Yes. And, I guess there's no other human beings here. No, right? You ever have a thought come blazing through your mind? You know, and I mean, it comes ripping and you're like, where did that come from? You know, well, there's three places where thoughts can come from. First of all, they can come from the devil, all right? Second of all, they can come from you. Third of all, thoughts can come from God that were first put in your spirit, and your spirit will enlighten your mind, all right? And so our job, spiritual warfare, is constantly babysitting our thoughts and bringing those thoughts into captivity. Say, wait a minute, is this of Christ? See, in military, in battle, you gotta send out patrols. Patrols are designed to check up on what the enemy's doing. See, everybody's looking to the news to see what Satan is doing. I'm telling you, look no further than your thought life if you want to know what the devil's trying to do. Trying to separate you, trying to bring you down, trying to make you depressed, trying to get you in doubt. Oh, casting down imaginations. Folks, this is how it happens. This is how a stronghold happens. All right, first of all, the devil, he shoots a thought through your mind. Let me show you this. Hold your place here, and we'll come back to this as well. Is it all right if we're just led here today? Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me show you how the devil works. See, this is the good news. You can know this stuff. I don't have to be captive in my mind. I heard a minister say this one time, and I'm gonna pretend that I thought of this. He said, the worst captivity is the wrong mentality. There is nothing worse than thinking wrong. Nothing worse in this life, as far as what the devil's up to, is thinking wrong. Because wrong thinking leads to wrong imaginations. Wrong imaginations lead to strongholds, where the devil now controls you through your thought life. See, but Jesus said, in my name, cast it away. Yes. Cast it away. Not every thought, here's the good news, not every thought that rips through your head is you. Amen. Aren't you glad that you're not your thoughts? Yes. Oh. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever had a mental attack where things are piling on you so hard, it just feels like the weight of the world is upon your mind? You ever been there? Yes. Guess what? Here's the good news. You could cast it off. I can cast, you can cast the weight of the world off your mind. Because the Bible says, casting all your care upon him because he loves you and cares for you affectionately. Amen. Watch this, Ephesians 6. Go over to verse 16. Let me show you how the devil works. We're gonna put it all together for you so you can see this and be taught and know how to live God's way. See, if you're just okay, you know, we gotta be careful about being just okay with being born again only. We gotta be careful about that. The Great Commission doesn't stop at getting saved. It goes on to being a believer on this earth and making sure that these signs are following us. Look at this. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, everyone say above all. Taking the shield of faith wherewith you. We could all say this, us. You will be able. See, God is interested in increasing your ability on this earth before you go to heaven. He wants you to be able, able to keep thoughts captive, able to cast down every high thing that comes, you know, exalts itself in your mind, able to understand what's of the enemy and what's of God and know the difference. He says, you take the shield of faith so that with your ability, you will quench all the what? Fiery darts of the wicked, or literally in the new translations, it says the wicked one. So Satan has what? Fiery darts. What is that? That's an arrow. And I'm gonna use the illustration again. You've all seen the medieval movies, right? And we know how those armies march and they're gonna go after the good people and they're, you know, following them down and all that. And the good people, you know, Robin Hood and all of his pack, they go running into the little village, right? And the king there then says, call out the archers. And the archers come out and they all light their arrows on fire and then they launch all those fiery darts into that village. And my question is always, why do they keep making their villages out of grass? Right? You know the guy's gonna shoot fiery darts at you. You know, in the same way, we better know and understand the devil is doing the same thing. So what he does is the devil is a defeated enemy. He has no power. If he could kill you, he would have done it already. But what the devil does is he takes a flaming arrow and he just sits there. Whoop, whoop, zip, 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 zipping through your mind, hoping that one will start a fire. Because when those flaming arrows come down in those movies, when they land and they hit the little straw pile, if someone would have just gone over, stomp it out when it's small. Because that thought is the same thing. When that thought hits your brain, stomp it out while it's small. Stomp it out while it's small. Because those arrows will come in there, and if that fire is allowed to burn, it will catch a much larger fire. Now go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 5. This is what this scripture is talking about. All right. Casting down imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10:5, praise the Lord. Can we put that back up, please? It says, casting down imaginations, every high thing in your mind that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you are to bring in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We cannot ask God to change our thoughts. Lord, I know I keep thinking about this. Lord, just take it away. So many of us, we make mistakes. We say, oh, Lord, I'm just so afraid. Take it away. The Lord won't. The Lord won't. Boy, I sure got quiet in here. He says, I've given you my name. You cast it down. You deal with it. You know, that's like, you know, a flaming arrow landing on your house and you're standing there. You wouldn't call the fire department yet, would you? Like, oh, you know, dial 911. Hey, a flaming arrow just hit my house and there's a fire burning at the base of it. The fire department or the dispatcher is going to be like, stomp on it. Put it out. It's not necessary for us to come there yet. So many times, you know, people cry out to God, Lord, take away these thoughts. Take away these thoughts of unforgiveness or take away these thoughts of offense. He won't. He won't. That's not what God does. Boy, you're getting all quiet in here. Right? Quietness means one of two things. One, it's either the sound of God dealing with people's hearts, or it's the sound of people getting ticked at the pastor. Right? Because Christians, we don't want to be told that we're supposed to do it. You can cry out, you can be in, oh, this is going to make somebody mad. The religious spirits won't like this. You can cry to God to take away thoughts. He won't. He won't. Lord, just take away these thoughts of suicide. Lord, take them away. He won't. You know why? Because he can't. He can't. Pastor, did you just say that there's something that God can't do? Yes. God can't force you to use his word. He can't force you to release your faith. He can't force you to use the name of Jesus to drive these things away. Boy, it gets quiet in here. Well, I'd rather just cast it on. I'd rather just, you know, ask God to do it. There's things that God says he's not going to do because he empowered you to do it. You to do it. So now we see what's going on. Look at verse 5 here. Bringing into captivity every thought, casting down imaginations to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you see this three-step process that is going on in your brain every day? The devil stands aside. Fiery dart comes through in the form of a thought. All right? If that thought then hits, and if we don't cast it down or keep it obedient, if we let the fire burn out of control, then it will move into the second stage, which is the imagination stage. And all of a sudden, an imagination, now you see that picture. Folks, if you're not careful, the devil will show you a picture of what it looks like when you're dead. He'll show you a picture of what it looks like when your kids are dead or your spouse is dead. He'll show you pictures of what it's like if you lose your home or lose your job. He'll show you pictures in your mind of what it looks like if you cheated on your spouse or if they cheated on you. He'll show you all these pictures. He'll show you all these things. Folks, cast it down before it burns out of control. Because if we allow the arrow to hit and we start thinking about it, we start imagining it. Do you think somebody just woke up one day and said, you know, today's the day that I'm going down a sad road of adultery. Today's the day that I'm gonna, you know, go down the path of extreme depression. You know, or today's the day that I'm going to become a drug addict or addicted to alcohol or whatever it is. Everything starts with a thought. Somewhere in the past, there was a flaming arrow that landed and someone started to think about, how would I do that? How would I act that out? Who would I commit adultery with? Where do you think pornographic addictions come from? They come from thoughts. Where do you think suicide comes from? It comes from thoughts. Every human being that is sitting justly in a jail cell today, what did someone just wake up one day and say, you know what? Today's the day that I'm gonna become a career criminal. Today's the day that I'm gonna start the path of spending the rest of my life in prison. Somewhere before that crime was committed, there was a thought that was not held captive. There was an imagination that was not cast down. And therefore, now a stronghold is when you have not checked your thinking. And so now you act upon the imaginations. You act upon the thoughts that came to your mind. Strongholds are a pattern of living that first started with a pattern of wrong thinking. All right. Folks, so many times Christians say, oh, I believe in casting out demons. And we think in our mind, it's always like, you know, and it certainly can be this. But we think that it's laying hands on somebody who's, you know, really tormented. We see them maybe addicted to drugs and, you know, and they're speaking out in crazy voices and things. I've dealt with that. Of course, that can happen. I have had experiences. We will not go into them now. Where literally I have heard demons speaking out of people. One time I had to go and try to retrieve a man, and I won't go into the fullness of this story. I had to retrieve a man that was, you know, threatening to take his own life, who was really, really inebriated on some serious narcotics, and he was in a wooded lot, and I knew where he was. See, these are the things you don't hear what pastors do. I go into the woods seeking a man who is reportedly very suicidal, someone that a family called upon me to help with this situation. Of course, I was very careful about it. I got there. I came up on this person. He didn't even know I was there. And I heard demons speaking out of him. And you know what? It's so amazing. Why am I talking about this? I walked up, and as I came up, before I even addressed him, first I'm checking to see if he's got weapons or whatever. I wasn't just foolishly or blindly going into the situation. And so I'm coming up, and before he knew I was there, I heard literally the wildest voices. I can't even mimic the voices that were coming out of this man. And you know what they were talking about? They were talking about the torment they had of the soon coming of Jesus. Literally, the voices. This person didn't even know what they were doing. You know? And I heard those demons like crying out. like begging Christ not to come back. Anyway, that's free, no charge. So if you don't think that pastoring is a real job, there you go. Praise the Lord. So I told you that story to make you aware. Yes, there is dramatic cases like that. But you know what? That would have never gotten to that place. There would be no demonic possession. There would be no demonic oppression if people first cast down thoughts in their mind. Here's the good news of the gospel. You can cast them down. You can cast down those imaginations. So it came in with a thought turned into an imagination. And when you act on the wrong imagination, you now have a pattern of conduct that was based on wrong thinking. Be careful, because this is where spiritual warfare takes place. I doubt there's anybody in here right now. I know for a fact there's nobody in here right now where you're demon possessed. We might be demonically oppressed, meaning we all face oppression, you know, and things like that. No one's going to come up to anybody here today and lay hands on you and you know, and get some wild thing going. But I'll tell you what, to prevent it all, to walk in spiritual, you know, safety, walking in a true spiritual battle, you're taking thoughts captive every day. You're casting them down. Pastor Tim, what does that look like? Let me just, you know, show you. You know, we might ask that question. Pastor, what does that look like? Simply, you know, like we looked at Ephesians 6:16. Therefore, taking the shield of faith by which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith, the word faith there means the spoken word. Spoken word. You need to take your words. No, you don't have to get crazy. You don't have to go stand on a checkout counter or something at the store. You don't have to get on your roof and get all goofy. But every day of my life, several times a day, you know, if wrong thinking comes to me, I'll cast it down. I'll say, no, in Jesus' name, I don't take that thought. And sometimes that thought will come right back. I'll say, no, I don't take that thought. That thought's not of God. No, I don't take that thought. Nope. Or if the devil gives me an imagination, or you ever had a dream, a bad dream? You know, I before I knew Jesus, I was filled with bad dreams. Oh my goodness. Something really, really interesting happened. Once I got saved, it's almost never that I have a dream of any kind. Not spiritual dreams. I've had a couple of spiritual dreams. But very rare for me to have a dream of any kind, even a harmless dream. Of course, there's harmless dreams, right? You dream about stuff and you're like, well, why'd I dream that? Well, probably we had too much Coke or too much Pepsi and pizza the night before or whatever. So that can happen. But every once in a great while, maybe just probably I can count on my one hand how many bad dreams I've had in the last 20 years. But when that happened, I'm so glad that I knew this truth, because all a dream is, again, it's just an animated thought. It's just an animated thought. You can wake up. You don't have to be tormented by those things. You can wake up saying, Jesus' name, I don't receive that dream. I don't receive that. If it's got torment, if it's got fear, then you know where it's from. It's just another one of those darts, arrows flying into your life. Amen. Are we getting anything out of this here today? Well, praise the Lord. So there it is. There's the first step. That's the first step. The first sign of them that believe, they'll be driving out demonic activity. They'll understand their authority over the devil. Go back to Mark 16. Wow, I'm not even through my introduction here today. Praise the Lord. No, I understand that we're going to just look at one more thing here. We're not going to be able to go through all of this. Go over to Mark 16, 17 again. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out, drive out demonic activity. They'll cast out demons. It's not always just some preacher laying hands on a demonically possessed person and watching them, you know, get delivered. I'll tell you, what it looks like in our daily life is controlling our mind. God's not going to control your mind for you. Praise the Lord. The good news is, are you ready for more good news? Just because a thought entered your mind doesn't mean it has to stay there. Right? Good news is you don't have to live that. You don't have to do that. Amen. Look at what he says. They shall cast out demons. And he's, now it's implied that everything he's saying is in his name. In my name, they'll cast out demons. In my name, they, believers, shall speak with new tongues. Oh, wow, here we go. Okay, think about this. There's a lot of interesting ideas about what, you know, Jesus is talking about here. Well, we're gonna take a look at it scripturally, all right? They will speak with new tongues. Again, so many times the T word comes up and, you know, people don't want to receive it. Or people will get something in their mind. They'll say, that pastor down there said that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Did this pastor say that?
No.
No. I don't believe. I have never believed. I have never said in any moment of my ministry ever that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Never, never have, never will. It is not scriptural. I have never said that. Never. All right? Never, ever, never, ever, ever, ever. Because every time I mention this verse, there's always someone who comes back to the church and says, he said that. Why is it when the pastor says things that sometimes there's, why are we on this? When a pastor says some things, it comes out to us. And when it hits us, it gets to our filter. And it can go, it can be taken for the worst, or it could be taken for the best. Why are so many people prone to take something they didn't understand the worst way possible? How about the best way possible? Oh, goodness. These signs, I have never said that, never would say that. Folks, but Jesus said, those that believe, meaning those that will believe in this. If you want to believe in casting out demons, great. If you choose not to believe it, the devil's going to run amok. The reason why the devil is running amok in this world is because Christians don't know or don't use their authority, right? They shall speak with new tongues. The term new means languages that did not exist for humanity before. These languages are some people that teach, well, Jesus was just talking about people will be given a language, a natural human language that they didn't know how to speak. Meaning, I don't know how to speak Chinese, but if the Spirit of God came on me, you know, and all of a sudden I could speak Chinese, well, I'm not saying that God isn't able to do that. Actually, there's a gift of the Holy Spirit called the diversities of tongues. We're not going to go into that. We're talking about just a prayer language to God, all right? This is not where God gives you the ability to speak a natural language that you didn't know before. And I'm going to prove it to you in the scripture. You don't need to turn there, but can you bring up 1 Corinthians 14:2? I want to show you what the Bible says. Because, folks, this is not something that's forced upon you, but I'm telling you, here's the good news. There is a heavenly language for every believer that puts you in direct contact with your heavenly Father. How many of you remember the original Batman TV show? Anyone remember that? I grew up on the reruns of it. You remember the original one? Na 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 na. Remember that? Remember that car? What was that thing? You know, it looked like a Pontiac of some sort, but as it turns out, it was a Ford. No, anyway, which is funny because I drive a Ford, praise God. I'm talking about old Fords. Anyway, you know, praise God. But remember that TV show? They get in the fight, boom, pow, bang. Remember that? Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Now, see, that's going to be in your mind all day. Cast it out, right? Remember that show? Remember Commissioner Gordon, the leader there in Gotham City, right? Remember how he had the red phone that was a direct line to Batman? Actually, when I was a little kid, these still existed in some places. How many of you remember the old party lines? You remember, anyone here remember the old party lines? What did it mean when you had a party line for your home phone? It meant that there was other lines in different houses in your neighborhood that were connected, and if you were on the phone, they could pick up and listen to what was being said. Oh my goodness. I couldn't imagine that. These people nowadays, everyone's FaceTiming everybody. I don't want people to hear what I'm saying to somebody else. I don't want people to be able to see me, right? But I mean, there was a time when you could pick up the phone and you might hear someone else's conversation. You don't want that to happen. Well, of course, you know, having a direct line to God, that's what these new languages are. They are a language between you and your heavenly Father that the devil can't hear, the devil can't mess with. Do you know in the Old Testament, you know over there, I believe it's in Daniel chapter 12, remember how Daniel prayed to God? But it said the prince of Persia, which was a demonic spirit, actually hindered those prayers. Right? Actually got in the way, and Daniel could not get his answer for 21 days because, remember? Remember this? And I'm not trying to get goofy. I'm just telling you a passage in the Bible. And, you know, an angel had to come and deliver that message to Daniel because he says a demonic spirit heard your prayer and hindered them before they got to God. How about in the New Testament, prayer that cannot be hindered, cannot be touched, cannot be messed with? 1 Corinthians 14:2, look at this verse. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue, unknown tongue. Wow. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to people, speaks not to people, not unto men. So now we know that this can't be a natural language. Because if I'm speaking Chinese, if I'm speaking, Spanish, if I'm speaking German, those are languages for people. There's people that would understand them. These are unknown tongues. That's what Jesus said, new tongues, meaning previously unknown. Are you here today? And I know we're not going to be able to do an in-depth study in praying in tongues, but this just might whet the appetite for somebody. Okay? He says, for no man, no person understands him. So unknown tongues, people don't understand it. They speak not to people, but to God, for no one understands him. Howbeit, say the next three words with me. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Mysteries, it means hidden truth. Things that you don't know for your life. Now these mysteries, they're not mysteries to God. Nothing's hidden from him, right? So that means there are things that are hidden to us. And so as I, you know, take time to pray in that heavenly language, right? What am I doing? I'm speaking directly to my Father. Directly to my Father, and I'm praying out mysteries into reality. Glory to God. There's things that you don't know in your life that will only be discovered through praying in other tongues. There are plans for your life. There are things that God has for you that is hidden in that ability to pray in other tongues. And if you're wondering where that ability comes from, it comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God has that available for every single believer. You know, folks, when I say that, when God has something for every single believer, there's going to be a lot of believers that reject it. A lot of believers that just say, I don't want it. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want all that God has for me. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean I'm putting down others that have rejected it. That's up to them. Folks, it's like this. You know, imagine two college football players. You know, maybe they're both, you know, All-Americans, All-Stars. They're really good football players. And they're getting ready to go to the NFL draft, okay? And these two players, one says, my goal is to be on an NFL team. But the other one says, well, my goal is to win the Super Bowl. All right? And so they're both really good players. But that one who sets his sights really high, he might spend a lot of time in his career not getting all the way to that Super Bowl. But he's just trying. He's reaching for all that has possibility. That doesn't mean he's putting down the other player, right? That just means he's pressing towards the highest accomplishment in that sport. It's like a mountain climber. It's like this. If a mountain climber says, my goal is to climb Mount Everest, maybe you won't get all the way to the top of Mount Everest, but because your goal was the highest possible, maybe you will get higher than you would have if you just set your sights low. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Folks, I'm always going to be a pastor that sets the highest bar right here in this church. I want to reach for all that God has. And if there's Christians, if there's other churches that aren't reaching for all that God has or unintentionally or whatever it is, I'm not even referring to them. I'm not putting anybody down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But let's always just, you know, try to reach. Of course, you know, none of us are going to ever fully get there in this life. You know what I mean? Is there anybody that's fully arrived spiritually? No. I know there's so many times, you know, I want to go higher in God, and sometimes I slip back and I just keep forward. But because I have that highest goal, it motivates me, keeps us going higher. See, the Bible says that we're supposed to reach forward to the prize and the calling of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you know what that means? I don't want to just go to heaven only. I want to live on this earth. I want to cast out devils in his name. I want to speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. What does that mean? Divine protection. In the Bible, Paul the apostle was bitten by a viper, and he shook it off into the fire, and all the people around him said, whoa, back up. He's going to curl up and die. And nothing happened to him. Do you believe that God divinely protects our lives? And then he goes on to say, and you believers shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Folks, there's good news. In this room are many people with healing in their hands. Do we have any believers here today? People like, God, heal me, God, heal me, God, heal them, God, heal them. Well, guess where the healing is? It's in your hands. It's not just in the pastor's hands. It's in your hands. Why? These signs shall follow. I want to walk in a supernatural life. I want to drive out demonic activity. I want to speak in new tongues. I want to have a relationship with God that is deep and personal. That's all that he has for me. I want to pray out mysteries. I want to find those things that are hidden. Amen. I want to walk in divine protection. You know, I want to lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. The gospel is not just a preaching gospel only. It is a demonstration gospel. Amen. We don't just preach or proclaim the gospel, we demonstrate it. We're constantly casting down demonic activity, constantly taking time to communicate with heaven, constantly walking in his favor and his protection. The Bible says in Psalm 5:12, it says, the Lord will bless the righteous. He will surround you with favor like a shield. Psalm 91 says, his angels shall go before you. No evil shall befall you. No plague near your dwelling, right? Amen. Glory to God. He's a protector. He's a provider, folks. Just because we're shooting for as high as we possibly can go, that doesn't mean we're trying to leave anybody behind or criticizing somebody. Amen and amen. Folks, I believe we should demonstrate the gospel. I believe it. You know what we're going to do today? We're going to lay hands on the sick. If you're here today, Reverend Tony, if you could take the keyboard, that would be wonderful. What we're going to do is that we're going to just take a few moments. This isn't anything that I naturally planned on doing. I didn't tell the ushers or anybody to get ready for this. If you're here today, if there's a sickness, illness, condition in your body, you know, and you would like to have hands laid upon you for that purpose, that I'm going to go ahead right now with all the lights up. Just go ahead, be bold, stand right up, come on down front. I'll meet you down here on the floor. I want to pray with you and over you. I want to lay hands on you. Praise God. God is good. And if you're remaining in your seats, join your faith. you know, go ahead and start, you know, talking to God and communicating with Him, praising Him, worshiping Him. Father, we just love You today. You're merciful. Lord, we want all that You have for us. We want all that You have. Father, we know there's many people that want all that You have. Lord, we know that there are those that reach and strive for all that You've offered us. And Lord, we know that we don't always get and stay at the very top, but we just keep pressing. We keep pressing. Thank You, Lord God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start down here. Father God, I thank You. And we all agree all over this sanctuary. Father, we agree in Jesus' mighty name as hands are laid upon these individuals. Father, we thank You. Your health, Your healing goes in to their bodies. Father, You said that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we know that You dearly care. You dearly care for Your temple. And so, Lord, we thank You for health and healing. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we declare healing upon this body. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we declare healing upon this body. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Father, we declare healing upon this body. In Jesus' mighty name, we take authority over that illness. We take authority. And Father, we say in Jesus' name, get out of this body. In Jesus' name, health, healing, strength from the top of His head to the bottom of His feet. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare healing in this body. In Jesus' mighty name, this body is whole and healthy. In Jesus' mighty name, this body is whole and healthy. Glory to God. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare health and healing in this body. In Jesus' name, this body is healed, filled with strength, and filled with health. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare health and healing in this body. In Jesus' name, we declare health and healing into this body. In Jesus' name, we declare health and healing in this body. Thank You, Lord God. In Jesus' name, this body is whole, healthy, filled with strength. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we declare this body to be whole and healthy, filled with the power of God from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. In Jesus' name, we command healing and health into this body. For Father God, it is Your will and desire. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, we declare healing and health in this body. Thank You, Lord God, for Your grace and Your mercy, that in all things that You would be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare healing and health in this body. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare healing and health in this body. For Father, You are merciful. Lord, You are great and worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, we declare health and healing to this body, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. In Jesus' name, Your health, Your strength, Father, to this body. For Lord, You are faithful in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we declare health and healing to this body. Father, we say this body is whole.
Thank You. He touched me.
Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we thank You. This body is whole and healthy. Lord, You are faithful. You are glorious. Yes, yes, yes. Thank You, Lord. This body operates and functions to Your will and desire, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we declare this body is healed, Father, to Your glory. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare your body, this body, to be healed in your name. Father, that you receive all the praise and glory, your health and strength from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Father, I thank you. Health and healing to this body. Thank you, Father, that you go in. Father, you make all things straight, functional. Father, thank you, Lord God. Healthy and whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, health and healing. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. Father, we thank you. This body is filled with your strength. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare this body to be whole and healed. Father, for it is your will and desire, and Lord, we give you all the glory. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Give God the praise and all the glory. Blessed is your name. Glory to God. You're both in there, just in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you. Healing moves all throughout this body. Thank you, Lord. Your strength, your health is upon him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We declare this body to be healed, whole, filled with strength. Thank you, Father, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we take authority. And Father, we declare this body to be free and whole. And Father, in Jesus' name, clarity in mind and thought, health and healing in body. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you this body is whole, healthy, and strong. Father, we just thank you. We declare, we thank you that your strength is upon her and within her all the days of her life. Jesus' mighty name, Father, we just declare this body to be whole and healthy. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you that this child is mighty seed upon the earth. This child is the generation of the upright. He's blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Now let's just continue to give the Lord praise and glory. Is there anybody else before? To God, let's just worship him. Father, we just bless you this morning. We glorify you this morning. Father, we thank you that there is good news. There is good news to the brokenhearted. There is good news to the captives. There is good news to the poor. There is good news to whoever, whatever we're going through. Thank you, Father God. You are so faithful and good. Thank you, Lord God. With all eyes closed, with all heads bowed, before we dismiss, let's ask the most important question anyone could ever ask you. We're in an attitude of prayer right now. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Ask yourself this question in your heart. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Ask yourself, am I saved? Have I confessed with all of my faith that Jesus is my Lord and Savior? Have you turned your life over to him? The Lord said to me once, back before I knew him, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do nothing that I say?" I remember that. And that actually is a verse. It's Luke 6:46. And I later found that scripture. And I realized that that was me. Oh, I had a Christian tradition. I had a Christian upbringing. But then I realized that I wasn't following Christ. If you're here today, if you are uncertain in any way of your salvation, please don't leave here until you know. And here's the thing, I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm not gonna make you stand up. I'm not gonna bring you down front. I'm not gonna walk up to you. I'm not gonna ask someone sitting next to you to say something to you, nothing like that. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I wanna be saved. I wanna have a life with God. If that's you, I'm simply gonna ask you to lift your hand. And when I see that hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then we'll lead the entire congregation in the prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and invite Jesus into your heart. It's not between me and you, it's between you and the Lord. But if that's you, could you lift your hand real quick? Is there anybody here that say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to be saved. I need my sins forgiven. I need to know that heaven is my home. If that's you, could you lift your hand? Is there anybody here? Maybe you're here today and you know you are a Christian, but maybe those words in Luke 6:46, maybe they apply to you today. Maybe you're like me at one time in my life. I said, I believe, but Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, but do nothing that I say? And if you know that in your heart, God's not here to harm you. He's here to help you. If today you'd like to, you know, rededicate your life, you know, re-up your relationship with the Lord, meaning you know that you're not obeying Him like you should and you want to rededicate your life, could you lift your hand now, please? I'd love to pray for you. I see that hand and that hand and that hand and that hand and that one. Praise the Lord. God loves you. God loves you. He's so good. Father, we thank you so much for your kindness today. Thank you, Lord, that we have good news. We can be saved and rescued. We can be delivered from captivity. We don't have to be desperate and sad all the days of our life. Lord, we can drive out the wrong thoughts that try to captivate our lives. We can drive out the fear. We can have this wonderful new language with you. We can walk in divine protection. We can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, today we just take this moment to consecrate ourselves to you. If you lifted your hand, just pray this prayer with me. And I just invite the entire congregation, please pray with me. And let's just all dedicate our lives to God. Everyone pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, is my Savior, is my provider, is my protector, and I dedicate myself. I make a commitment on this day to live for you all the days of my life, to obey you, to humble myself. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. Did you get some help here today? Yes, praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and give the Lord a shout of praise. Let's glorify Him. Father, we just bless you today. We glorify you, Lord. You are so good, so worthy and faithful. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.